Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moving Faith with Reverend Green.
Reverend Green Covington is the Associate Pastor of the Warner Memorial Church of God in Ferndale, Michigan. She is here to take your calls regarding faith in today's society.
If you have any questions, call the toll-free number on your blog screen.
And without any further delay, here is Living Faith with Reverend Kareem.
Hello, and welcome to the Living Faith Show. I am your host, Pastor Kareem. I am glad that you could join me on this evening. It has been a glorious day here in the metropolitan Detroit area. It is just fantastic. Well, for Michigan during this time of the year, that is. It is, what, it was 36 today? And if you're from here, you realize, wow, that is outstanding for this time of the year. So we have no complaints about what's going on. As a matter of fact, we thank God for every moment that we have enjoyed on this day. I have not been with you for a few weeks now because we took a break during the Christmas holidays and on into the new year, simply because we wanted to have time to spend with family and friends and things of that nature that were going on around us. And it's been an absolutely delightful time that I had to spend with my relatives. So I'm supremely glad that you're here. We are going to get back, hopefully next week, with taking your questions. I do have a stack of them. I did not finish ones from last year, but that's okay because there's no law that said I had to. But I'm going to finish them out today. Well, not today, during the course of the year, but if you have some, please write them in. That's Rev Kareem at livingsavedwithrevkareem.com. Just drop me a line and I will answer whatever question you have that pertains to today's church, our faith. I'm not going to try to indoctrinate you with anything. That's not what I do. The Bible speaks for itself. It doesn't need me to try to indoctrinate you with anything. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, and you can ignore it or you can hear it. Either way, I promise you that I will answer your questions. Now, let's, just for today, we're going to look at something a little bit different because I think we all have these role models in our life, these people that we look up to, we admire them. There are men and women in our world who they're respected, they're admired, they're even idolized for their accomplishments, their talents, abilities, or their characters. Now, some are called positive role models, and some are called, in spite of their accomplishments, they're called negative role models. There are saints who look up to other saints of God. Nevertheless, a man is just that. He's just a man. He will live and die as all men will. For all of his accomplishments, talents, abilities, or sterling character, he's subject to the same frailties and shortcomings of all men. Still, the world is full of role model, and that's not bad. But of all the role models to be admired, there's one who gained fame. His name was on, and still is, on everyone's lips. He possessed groupies, acquired great wealth, accomplished all his goals, made the Hall of Fame, and he still lives. And he was a total pleasure to his father. Now, in case you don't know, he gained fame, his name's on everyone's lips. Okay, maybe. That acquired great wealth thing, I don't quite get that. Well, he has the glory of the Father. There's nothing greater than that. The whole world and everything in it belongs to him. Can't get any richer than that. Accomplishing all of his goals? Well, come on, Pastor. Not everyone that he spoke to believed in him. Not everyone that he spoke to turned from what they were doing and became followers of his. Absolutely not. But he accomplished his goal of bringing salvation full salvation available for anyone who would repent and confess him. And he's alive now and forevermore, just as he was in the beginning. He will always be alive. And of course, being a total pleasure to the Father, he sits on his right-hand side. Now, if you're to emulate this role model, then you're going to have to look up. You're going to have to look up to Jesus. That in itself, for many people, becomes very hard. How can you follow such a theme, such a possibility, such a role model as this? But your entire life is contained in the theme itself. Just LOOKUP. Simply look up. In John 3:11, verses 43 and 44, it says, "When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" Now that's the first letter of our acronym, and it stands for Listen to His Call. Jesus calls us to come out of sin just as you are. Lazarus didn't take any time of taking off his death clothes or combing his hair or getting anything fancy or ready. He's just simply, "Oh, Jesus is calling. I have to go now." And he got up and he walked out of the tomb. We can't change ourselves. We are what we are. We're sinners. We're lost. We're doomed. Right up until the time we hear that calling that says, "Just come out." There's no need for us to snip away the strips of sin that are wrapped around us. There's no need to pull at the cloth of hindrances covering our face. We don't have to try to better ourselves. Jesus knows that you're dead in sin already, and that's why he's calling, "Come out." No matter what sin you have binding you, we have to listen to his call and just come out. When we listen to that call and we say, "You know what? I am lost. I'm sorry. I repent for those things that I've done. I repent for the sins that I have committed against you." Then he's going to order Satan to unbind you and let you go into salvation through grace. Now, I keep trying to work on those things. I keep trying to get them across. I think my mic has been off all this time. I don't know. You know that? I don't know. Maybe it has, but I looked down and I saw the little red glow going on. So on the outside chance that it was off, let me say this again, that we're going to be talking about the one role model that we that we can always trust in, and that being Jesus Christ himself. And to understand how we're going to be followers or adherents of that role model and look up to and admire and then follow in that role model's footsteps, then we're going to use the acronym LOOKUP. That's right, two words, look up. We came from John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44, Jesus calling to Lazarus to come out of the grave, and the dead man came out, and his hands and feet being bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." And we said that the first letter is L, which, of course, look up. And it stands for listen to his call, that Jesus calls us to come out of sin, just as we are, not trying to dress it up or anything like that. There's no need for us to snip away at the strips that are wrapped around us, the strips of sin that are wrapped around us. There's no need to pull at the cloth of hindrances that are covering our faces, keeping us from seeing him. There's no need for us to try to better ourselves. Jesus already knows that we're dead in sin, and that's why he calls for us to come out of that sin. No matter what sin that we have binding us, all we have to do is listen to his call and come out. And when we do that, then he orders Satan. And contrary to what people will tell you, no, Satan cannot hold on to you when you are being set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. He can't hold on to you. The only way he does that is if, yeah, you know, it was okay, but I kind of like being where I am. Kind of like not, being tied down to God and all of that stuff. Well, if you don't want to be tied down to God, he's not going to force you to be tied down to him. At the same time, those who are willing to step outside and know that, first and foremost, looking up to Jesus means that we're going to listen to his call. And the first call that he gives us is to come out of the deadness of sin and into life everlasting. I promise you, this is a very simple acronym, but if you listen to it, then you're going to find that you can actually come into the newness of life and have the role model that you actually deserve having. There are a lot of role models in the world, but not all of them deserve to be followed. As I said, and I don't know if you heard me or not, they're those negative role models. And it doesn't matter how much they have accomplished in their lives. They're still negative usually because of something of the characters or those things that they call themselves doing. Well, I do this for me and I'm more concerned about me. Well, okay. But even those positive role models, as I said, are inconsequential. Why? They're inconsequential because they're just men, just like you and I are. And they're going to be born, they're going to live, they're going to die. That's just the way it is. That is life. When we listen and follow this role model, the role model of Jesus Christ, looking up to Jesus, first and foremost, is going to mean listen to his call, come out of the darkness of sin, and into life everlasting. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. The second letter is O, and it stands for offer yourself. We're going to take just a few minutes break here because we've got music to play. We're going to listen to a little bit of Martha Minuzzi, Because of Who You Are.
Give you praise because
Are Back. That was Martha Minuzzi, Because of Who You Are. We are on the second letter of our acronym, LOOKUP, LOOKUP. And we said that it would come from, what did I say, Romans, yes, chapter 12. And that very first verse, submitting our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And that second letter stands for offer yourself. Now, having listened to the call of Jesus and having been freed from the bindings of sin, those grave clothes that we wore, and it was through no act of our own, and we can surely wish to repay the one who made the sacrifice, right? I mean, that would be the least that we could do is say that person who brought us back from death and gave us new life, we should. Well, how can we do that? He's already rich. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. Fame is already here. The air you breathe, the house you sleep in, the clothes you wear, the food you eat, it all belongs to him. A common misconception is that because you have listened to his call, which implies acceptance, you've offered yourself, and what else is there? That's not so. You have taken him up on his offer. Okay, you've taken him up. I keep pressing this button. You've taken him up on the offer. Offer yourself to him. You've accepted his offer, but you haven't offered yourself to him. To look up to Jesus, you have to offer to do whatever he wants you to do. To offer to surrender your hopes and your dreams for his expectations. Offer your will in exchange for his will. Offer yourself for consecration of life. Offer yourself to move beyond being saved from sin to being saved for God. Because of Jesus' consecration, he wasn't content to glorify the Father in eternity. He wasn't content to glorify the Father on earth through words and miracles. His will was to do the will of the Father on earth, so he offered himself on the cross. He was going to take this to the finish line. He knew that he had pleased the Father by what he was saying. He knew that he had pleased the Father by how he was living his life and how he was testifying of him. But if we're going to look up to Jesus, then we're going to have to offer ourselves as being one who is willing to do, being one who is willing to serve, willing to give that very last drop, go to the bitter end. Well, I don't know what the end's going to be. Of course you don't know what the end's going to be. But what you do know is that you can offer to be there in the end, to do all those things that you can do, all those things that God is asking from you and for you. Because when he asks us, look, I want you to go this place, and I want you to do this, or I want you to say this to someone. Yes, he's glorified because you did it, but you are blessed because you have accomplished the will of God in your life. This street, I'm telling you, there's no way that we will ever do more for God than what he has done for us, what he does for us. So if we're going to look up to Jesus, something just flashed up on us. Hey, do you want to know? I guess so. Then we're going to have to be willing to offer our times, our talents, our service, our will, our desires, our hopes, our dreams, our ambitions, all of those things. We have to be willing to say, you know what? I'm willing to all that to you so that you can use them for your glory. And in turn, you will be tremendously blessed and glorified throughout the earth. Because I've offered myself to you. Not that I'm such a big deal. I'm not saying that. But I'm willing to do everything to make sure I can never repay you for, you know, getting me out of those grave clothes and saving me and rescuing me from certain death. I can never repay you for that, but the least I can do is offer to do whatever I can for you. I took you up on your offer, and now I'm offering myself to you. Don't ever confuse, again, don't ever confuse the fact that you took him up on the offer of salvation, that means that you've offered yourself. It doesn't. You have to make that commitment. But there's a third letter here, another O, and 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." The third letter is also O, and it stands for overcome the world. When you listen to his call and offer yourself, you can overcome, you can defeat the world and all of those things which certainly cause a bother and cause temptation and cause difficulty in your life. You can overcome that. You can win that. You can defeat those things which are doing one thing. They're just, wow, simply becoming or doing. I'm trying to get something done here, and it does not want to work for me. Go figure. Anyway. We thank God for what he has done, and we need to overcome the world. When we listen to his call and we offer ourselves, then we can overcome, we can defeat the world. Against the power of evil that works in this world, we can have victory, and we are supposed to have victory. Don't look and say, well, I don't know how that's even going to be possible. I mean, what are you talking about? How can I have victory? Christ has already defeated everything here. There's no sin that we cannot endure. There's no temptation that can befall us. When we are doing those things that will cause us to look at our role model, which is supposed to be Jesus Christ. Our role model, Jesus, has overcome the world. The battle has been won, and through him, we possess the power to continuously overcome the temptation to sin. Now, many may tell you that it can't be done. Can overcome. You can overcome the criticism of the world and the worldly church. You can overcome the jealousy of the world and the worldly church. You can overcome the stupid, dangerous fads of the world and the worldly church. If you're looking in the right direction, in what direction are we supposed to be looking at? We look up to Jesus. He is our role model. He is our example. And with him, we can indeed overcome the world just as he overcame the world. Now, you may be thinking, well, they put him to death. I'm not real sure if I want to go in that direction. But, yeah, they did put him to death. But he rose again on the third day, and he lives and is alive both now and forevermore. He's the one person that we can say, wow, he actually got past this stuff. I mean, he actually endured and won. Man, what an astounding thing that this Jesus Christ, who they thought they were getting rid of, they didn't get rid of. They thought they were going to be able to, but they could not because of who he served and who he admired and who he looks up to, and because of who he is, there's no way to defeat him. He is without doubt the perfect winner. Isn't that an exciting thing? Oh, he won? Yes, he won. He won. He won. So, we have, how many letters do we have now? I think that's the third one. Yes, that's the third letter. We have L. Listen. Listen. Then we have O. Offer yourself. And that second O overcome. Listen to this call. Offer yourself and overcome the world. This is going faster than you thought. I hope you're writing this down. Okay. If we just look up to Jesus, then we can overcome the world, and yes, we can overcome the dictates of the worldly church. Those congregations, those things say, well, you can do this and you can do that and you can get away with this and God wants you to do this and don't be so hard. Overcome the world and the worldly church by looking up to Jesus Christ, who without fault and without fail glorified God. 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. Says, you therefore, beloved, since you are forewarned, be aware that you are not carried away with the error of the lawless and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Our fourth letter, that letter K stands for keep growing. Ah, isn't that wonderful? Keep growing. Let's take a small break here as we listen to Denise Tashika, as she sings for us.
Just like the day and night, sometimes in life, we go through the ups and downs. Yeah, that's right. You know, and we feel the pain and we cry. And sometimes this roller coaster ride just takes a little while longer. That's right. The bottom line is we ain't gonna give up at all, because we know our God. He's the faithful God. Come on, Denise, drop the verse.
And the storms come raging in your life, when clouds are dark and thunders cry, you lift up your head to the sky. Know that he is nigh. He will come to rescue you. He's always there for you. When the mountains seem so high to climb, and when the valleys way too deep, he never slumbers, never sleeps. He sings to the Lord. He prays to the one who was blind. He's the way, the truth, and life. He sings to the Lord. He prays to the one who was blind. To the Savior of your soul. When his tears go, and you feel all alone, seems like your world is turned upside down. Lift up your head to the sky and know that he is nigh. He will come to rescue you. He's always there for you. When you stumble, that there's no hope at all, when those around are waiting for your fall, lift up your head to the sky and know that he is nigh. He will meet your desperate need. He never sleeps.
Come on, give him thanks. Hallelujah.
Oh,
And we have returned. That was Denise Tashaki, singing Give Thanks. We had her here on the show, what was that, last year, year before, a couple of years ago, back in 2013. Wonderful voice, wonderful song. We said that we were on our fourth letter, and that letter being the letter K, which stands for keep growing. And we use 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 to introduce that letter to us, keep growing. A stagnant or a non-growing Christian is either dying or a dead Christian. All right, there's no such thing. I'm just holding the status quo. No, a stagnant or non-growing Christian is either a dying or he's a dead Christian. Fundamentals are not enough to carry you to glory. Knowledge that you're saved isn't enough. So you say, well, I'm saved. What are you talking about? That should be enough. I can promise you, you're not going to make it to the end of the journey unless you take this thing to a step further. This isn't about reading your Bible. Never ignore the written word. Rather, it's about a deepening of experience that produces an increase of the power of your faith, an increase of a godly dependency, an increase of love, an increase of holiness, an increase of desire to seek the Father's good pleasure. I had to check and see if I had, once again, I need to take this so I don't turn this off on you. Hit that mute button. But that's what it's about. It's an increase of that desire to seek the Father's good pleasure and an increase to understand the truth and the fullness of Jesus Christ. Keep growing. Progress your salvation until Jesus returns or calls you home. Whatever it takes to keep you growing, then ask God for that. You know, while we're asking for cars and saying, well, my Father's rich and he's going to give me this and he's going to give me that, here's what he's obligated and here's what he desires to give you more than anything else, a very close, working, loving, committed relationship with him, because he understands all the stuff that you acquire, you're going to leave all that behind. Before, I'm not against stuff. I've got stuff, and I'd like to be able to get more stuff. As a matter of fact, I went out today and I bought more stuff. It's not that. It's understanding that all this stuff, we're going to leave all that behind, and the only thing that matters is that we do whatever it takes, and we ask God, Father, here I am, and I'm standing before you, and I'm asking you to do this. I'm asking you to do this. Give me what I need to be the child that you want to be, that you need me to be, that you desire for me to be, so that I will become the adult servant that you intended for me to do. I just want to be I want to be your people. I want to make sure that I do and be and speak and live and talk and walk in the manner that's going to please you. Whatever you need to do in me, whatever you need to bring into my life, whatever journey that I need to walk on to be that, then that's what I want. We keep asking for the wrong thing. We keep asking for stuff when we need to be asking that question. What do I need to be the child that is pleasing to you, Dad? What is it that is going to make you most pleasurable in me? If we can't get to that, then really, please understand, we're really wasting our breath, wasting our time. Our Father's interested in us being who he has designed us to be, because we've each been designed to be someone. Ask God for what you need to keep you growing. And if you think that you know it all, no, you don't. There's no way any of us, finite human beings, can know everything about an infinite God. That's not even possible. Me saying it, doesn't that just sound stupid to you? We're just finite beings, and how can we expect to know everything there is to know about an infinite God. So wouldn't it just be smart? Doesn't it just make sense that we ask God to keep me growing? Just keep me growing. Whatever it takes, just keep me growing. So if it takes eating the lives of others, then eat them. It's okay. You're not going to choke on it. You'll grow in prayer. If it takes eating the desertion offense, then eat it. You'll grow in God dependence. If it takes drinking the waters of hopelessness, then drink it. You'll grow in faith. If it takes drinking the water of unfulfilled dreams, then drink it. You'll grow in the will of God. Whatever it takes, be growing. Isaiah 10 says, Go through the gates. Prepare the way of the people. Make the highway smooth. Gather out the stones. Lay a standard for the people. That's our next letter. We've done the keep growing. We've done listen to his call. Come out. That's his call. We've done offer yourself. And we've done the second O, overcome the world. And we just finished K, keep growing. Whatever you need to do, don't sit there and say, I've reached it. I understand it all. I know it all. You keep growing. I told my congregation before, and I continue to tell those that I have the opportunity to do so, that we have to be like the male kangaroo. I'll give you a second with that one. The male kangaroo grows every day of his life up until the day he dies. He is always growing. We need to be like the male kangaroo. We need to be growing every day of our lives until we're called home or we meet him in the air. Isaiah 62 and 10, again, it says, go through the gates, prepare the way of the people, make the highway smooth, gather out the stones, lift up a standard. Fifth letter U stands for uphold the standard. Make sense? A standard is a flag or an insignia, like political conventions. Those who have listened to his call, offer themselves and overcome the world, and they're always growing, keep growing, are those who uphold the standard, the flag of Jesus Christ. Well, what exactly is this flag? I've never heard anything about Jesus having a flag. The church is the flag. And she bears the words of holiness, righteousness, obedience, compassion, commitment, godliness, faithfulness. Just uphold the standard of Jesus. When people look at you, they're not supposed to see a hypocrite. They're not supposed to be someone who is struggling along just to make it to the end. They're supposed to be able to see the love, the faith, the will, the movements, the desires, the use of God in your life. They ought to be seeing that. Not some foolishness. They should be able to see the living God. They should be able to know, wow, there goes a child of God. I know them. How do you know them? Not just because of the way they dress. So certainly that gives me a clue. That lets me know that something's different about them. Their skirts aren't tooted all up and their pants aren't drooping all down. I know that they are a servant of God because they look holy. Not their clothes, but their face, man. There's something different about the way they look. Believe it or not, beloved, those who are children of God, those who are followers, those who have Jesus as their role model and are following in his footsteps, we look different. Not because of what we have on, but because of what's coming out of us. That's the big deal. That's what makes a difference. That what is, brings us to being just, to being exactly what God wants us to be. We have to uphold that standard of holiness. We can't be walking and straddling the fence of salvation and sin. You can't do it. You can't say, well, I'm supposed to be doing this with my church, but I'd rather be doing this. I'm doing this. And that's not showing faithfulness to the people of God, to the word of God, to the will of God. Well, I would pray, but my TV show's coming on. Oh, well, receive where your obedience is. Receive where your faithfulness is. Receive what you're dependent on. You're dependent on the television. Well, the president's going to speak tonight. I'm a citizen of the United States of America, and I'm glad that I was born and raised here. For all of her faults, I am thrilled to be in this nation. But I got to tell you, down to hearing a speech, or it comes down to seeing who's saying what and who's doing what and how this is going and what's this going, I'd much rather invoke and proclaim my citizenship of heaven, because I'm always going to follow the will of God first. I'm always going to be the one who's going to uphold holiness, not looking to sin. I'm not trying to sin, not trying to place things in front of God, or even get to the point where I'm not listening to him. I'm going to be faithful. Uphold the standard of Jesus. Look at what he did and how he lived his life. He was blameless before men. Oh, but they did blame him. What did they blame him for? He called himself as being the Son of God. Truth on that score. Well, we didn't like hearing the truth. He should have said something else. Yeah, that makes sense, huh? Let's blame him for that. What else? Well, he did miracles, and he did them by Satan. Well, as he said, if Satan be against himself, then he can't stand. It's going to fall apart. Everything they sought to condemn him for, they only served to condemn themselves for, because everything about him was blameless and without fault. That's the kind of role model we should always be following. We can uphold that standard, that flag of Jesus Christ in our lives by being holy, by living righteously, by being obedient to the word of God, by showing the compassion, the commitment, the godliness, and the faithfulness that has so freely been given to us. We can live those lives and show and demonstrate those things to those who would come after us. Our sixth and final letter, Ephesians 6 and 11. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't give you a chance to hear any music, did I? I did not. Let's hear a little bit of Reba McEntire. I'm going to move that mountain.
Hi.
That didn't turn out too well for us, did it? Let's try a little Brooks and Dunn, I Believe.
Old man Wrigley lived in that white house down the street where I grew up. Mama used to send me over with things. We struck a friendship up. Spent a few long summers out on his old porch swing. Said he was in the war, went in the Navy. Lost his wife, lost his baby. Broke down and asked him one time, how you keep from going crazy? He said, I'll see my wife and son in just a little while. I asked him what he meant. He looked at me and smiled. Said, I raised my hand. written in red. You tell me that there's more to life than just what I can see. Oh, I believe. A few years later, I was off at college, talking to Mom on the phone one night, all caught up on the gossip, the ins and outs of the small town life. She said, oh, by the way, son, old man Wrigley's died. Later on that night, I laid there thinking back, thought about a couple long lost summers. I didn't know whether to cry or laugh. There was ever anybody deserved a ticket to the other side, it'd be that sweet old man who looked me in the eye. Said, I raised my the verse, you can't tell me it all ends in a slow ride in a hearse. You know I'm more and more convinced the longer that I live, yeah, this can't be, no, this can't be, no, this can't be.
And that was Brooks and Dunn, and I Believe, finding those, the truth and those words written in red at Most Holy of Books. We have our last letter, the sixth letter. We're going to look at Ephesians 6 and 11. I know I only have 2 minutes, so let me do this quickly. It's Ephesians 6 and 11 says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That sixth and final letter, as P, and it stands for protect your salvation. Put on the armor. Protect yourself with the belt of truth. With it around your waist, everything will stay together. put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's going to cover your soul, the most precious thing, that the only thing that you truly own. Wear the shoes of the gospel of peace. They will secure your footing when the ground shakes. They will massage your feet when they become tired. They are always comfortable on you. Have the shield of faith, so the works of lies, the insults, the misunderstanding, the hatred, the abuse, the rejection can all be deflected with the shield of faith. Obedience, commitment, and dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ are all a part of the shield of faith. Put on that, wear the helmet of salvation. This is a symbol of God's power in your life. It will earn you respect. Carry the sword of the Spirit, the word of God in you, not a cross, not the word that you carry around and flash and have nice little bookmarks in. It's having it within you. Know and understand the scriptures. And then pray. Morning, noon, night, pray without ceasing. Pray in good times, pray in bad times. Just pray. Protect your salvation by using the suit of armor, by wearing it. Ephesians 12, 1 and 2 says, if you look up to Jesus, then life is going to fall in place. Paul tells us that looking to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, will carry us from here to glory. Young people, old people, middle-aged people, if you're going to live eternally with Jesus Christ, eternally with the one true God, then you're going to have to do these things that are necessary. I know that I ran out of time and I have problems here with this mic. I'm going to take this thing shut so that I don't have to worry about hitting that mute button. But let me tell you this. May God bless you. Until we meet again, may He continually bless you and keep living saved.
No one stopped to look or stare. As I look upon the hill, I see something so unreal. I see my Savior nailed to the cross. He did it all for me, right here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, on this Friday evening. Until we meet again, have a very blessed weekend. Keep living saved.